have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah.
They played the game that they had to play in order to beat us in regard. Played the game that they had to play in order to beat us in regards to trying to run the football consistently throughout the course of the game and just make us dink and dunk the ball down the field, which we were able to move the ball. We had the two turnovers, missed a field goal, so we did enough things. Just we deservedly got our ass beat.
That about sums it up. I have a dilemma this morning, Mr. Gunderson.
What might that be,
Mr. Gunderson? Good Monday to you, by the way.
Good morning, Monday. Good Monday morning. It's a Monday morning. It's a morning and it's Monday, that's for sure.
Got an email this morning. I had the option this morning of saying yes or no to an interview with Britney Spears' ex-husband, Kevin Federline. That's my dilemma this morning.
You know what? I think that info that you just gave me is more enjoyable than any K-Fed interview could ever be. I think you've already spread what joy you can, Johnny Appleseed. Now you must move on to the next town. Say that same thing and keep moving. Just don't bring Kevin Federline anywhere with you.
I think I'm just going to leave it alone. I don't think I need to chat with Kevin Federline.
Kevin Federline, I mean, credit to him. I hope he's doing well. I hope he's having a good life. But he's not a good example of why humans end up famous. Kevin Federline's fame is a symptom. I'll put it that way. And K-Fed, if you got a problem with that, cool. Call me. I'll explain it to you.
Well, Monday morning, not a good Monday if you're a big, big, big Packer fan. But it was a rough game yesterday. But like I've said many, many times before, the NFL, the National Football League, every week is an island.
Yep.
So just don't get too excited. You didn't hear me this morning talking about the post-game wine line. I listened to a little bit of the Packer one. I listened to a little bit of my purple wine line. Of course, the Vikings are the next coming of Joe Montana and the 49ers, and the Packers need to just root out everything that they've ever done in the history of their franchise and start over. Yeah. That's where some irrational fans are at this morning.
We're a kicker away from 8-0.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's true.
We are. I've got it right here. You want me to break it down?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Here's what a brief glimpse at what I plan to talk about later in my afternoon show today, right here on 98Q. Mm-hmm. We just paid Brandon McManus, but he's been a fish out of water since then. He missed two games back in weeks 6 and 7. We just finished week 9, and in weeks 8 and 9, those two games back, he's 4 of 7 since his return. And that, just for reference, is a lower percentage than Braden Narveson was giving us last season before we fired him and bounced him out of the league. Now, McManus's substitute, Lucas Haversick, didn't miss a single kick over two games, and in fact, is currently the Packers franchise record holder with a 61-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So McManus is flopping. Haversick is still on our practice squad. I know I'm sitting there thinking, what gives? But the answer is that we paid McManus over the spring.
And so he's got the money. So guaranteed money, I would assume.
I don't know what the guarantees actually are, but frankly, we're at a point now where it doesn't matter anymore because the contract value was, it was 3 years, $15 million, plus a $5 million signing bonus. That is the 12th biggest contract for a kicker by overall value in the NFL. 12th biggest contract. He's got the 7th highest salary per year. So we've got him we're paying him like a top 10 kicker, basically. Mm-hmm. 12th overall value, 7th average annual value. So how does that compare to his performance? He's 36th this year in a league with 32 teams.
And he may still be recovering a little bit from the injury he's had.
Right.
But if that's the case, let's just, we got a guy, the Packers have a guy who can do it. He's proven he can do it. So don't you just flip it for a while and say, Mr. McManus, we know we paid you the money, but we're just going to let you heal up.
Yeah. Right? I know a lot of people like me were thinking, yeah, I know Lucas is cheap and we paid McManus. Even I was thinking, like, McManus started this year well enough that we should absolutely go back. And he kind of did, except for he also kind of didn't. McManus had a rougher start to this year than it might have seemed. He was 7 of 9 before his injury. 7 of 9. That's a pretty solid percentage. It's like 77%, but even that's bottom half of the league, by the way.
Yeah.
And what's worse, those two misses, one was in the 3-point loss to Cleveland, and he missed a point after the touchdown in the tie with Dallas. Mm-hmm. So you factor that in yesterday, we are a kicker away from an 8-0 season. Don't talk to me about ties. I'm talking about undefeated.
And this is what the Packers are, because the Packers, they know that Jordan Love, if he, they don't want him throwing the ball 50 times. They want the Packers to be run the ball, grind it out,
yeah,
kick a field goal, win 20-13, that type of thing. They're not ready to say, you know what, we're going to make this a shootout. That's going to be our goal today. The Packers don't want to do that. So when you have that philosophy of a good defense, you got Micah Parsons, you think you got a pretty good run game, the margin for error on the kicking side can be crucial.
Absolutely
crucial.
And I mean, more to the point, you want to, so one of the things there, the Panthers defense, I cannot overrate, because people are not going to be talking enough about what they did to the Packers offense. Well, they took away one thing that the Packers have done phenomenally well all year. They didn't take away the pass game, though there were problems. They didn't take away the run game. They took away a situational game. They took away third downs. And we'll talk in my show this afternoon about how much that mattered. But just very briefly, here's the 6 Packers possessions. There were only 6 of them. Usually we average about 8 or 9. So that was the first thing. You can't score if you don't have the ball. The defense couldn't get off the field. But here's how the Packers 6 possessions ended. Fumble, field goal, then halftime. Missed field goal, interception, turnover on downs. That doesn't describe any win in NFL history. I mean, it was, I swear, Jordan Love heard us saying, you know what, we can stop debating Jordan Love. He's good enough. I think he heard that and said, hey, watch this interception real quick. Let's just casually underthrow one into triple coverage.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
if we want to cope a little bit, and I do, and I am, that was the most Brett Favre throw I've ever seen out of Jordan Love. Just like, whoop, here we go.
But he's done that. We talked a little bit about it last week, that Jordan Love's not afraid to throw a jump ball.
No.
And he threw a jump ball to a receiver that decided he was going to go deep instead of the shallow. He threw kind of a shallow jump ball, and he was counting on the receiver to come back and get it. And it just is, and that's going to happen when you throw jump balls like that.
Yeah, you can throw a ball that's intended to get your guy open, where you throw to a safe side and you require him to make a move. But if you're trying to throw a guy open in a way that he has to walk through another person, it ain't gonna work. That's what coverage is. And it was it was a bit rough. But long story short, for me, it's time to address the kicking situation. I don't care that he's worth $5 million a year. I'm calling around the league and saying, hey, you can even take, we'll keep half of his contract, you know? I'm conducting a kicker fire sale, and sure, I'm sure there's a reason that Lucas Haversick hasn't gotten the nod, and it's probably a reason bigger than money. Maybe he's showing things in practice that he might be a little shaky up, but like, he's got the distance record. He's 100%, there's enough of a sample size there to at least start calling and saying, hey, Brandon, we're starting to worry here, you know? And I get, like, there's probably a lot I don't know about coaching and about NFL front offices, and those things I don't know are probably the same reasons why we're sticking with Brandon. But past a certain point, I'm a guy looking at somebody, like, if you're going to design a bike with a triangular wheel, I'm going to tell you, hey, bad idea. No, I'm not a rocket scientist, but even I can spot that ain't going to fly.
And the Panther defense, the run defense was one of the better ones in the NFL coming into this. So it's not like the Packers faced a team that was horrible. The Panthers have won, like, what, 4 of 5 or something like
that.
They're not beating great teams. Or you look at who they beat, Miami and stuff. I mean, not impressive wins, but this is not a bad team that the Packers lost to. This isn't the Jets. This isn't Miami. This isn't a team that's just not good at all. They're not a bad team. So the close game was a surprise to a lot of people. What did we say? It was a 13.5-point spread.
It was a 13.5-point spread. But the thing is, they were even going into this game. You know, this was not a bad team, and they were being treated like a really bad team. Yeah, they're missing a couple pieces they've had. But Rico Dowdle is averaging more yards per game than anybody with two fewer games played right now. And we don't know how to stop a running back that can break the first two tackles, apparently. Once they get to that secondary level, we've got absolute issues. Though McKinney seemed to clean up a lot yesterday. It just, yeah, that was... It was an experience. It was the Panthers basically kept calm, kept it slow, and they relied on their playmaker who kept churning out yards. And they let Green Bay make their own mistakes. And we did. We beat ourselves. We absolutely beat ourselves. The penalties, some of the worst timed penalties I've ever seen. Two holding penalties on the final drive of the first half. You know, we're looking at those 2 minutes before and those 2 minutes after, that critical period around the half. And I mean, we were riding a merry-go-round. They were playing football, but we weren't.
Behind the sticks a lot. That's what flags will do to you. So going into the game, and this was the first question I was going to ask you, but we got sidetracked.
Not us.
So going into the game, were there any injuries to Packers that you went into the game and you said, okay, if we lose, this might be why. This might be the excuse why we lose.
No, nobody was missing going in that was like a major concern, but losing Tucker Kraft was probably a pretty big deal, and it did stink. I mean, there was one offensive lineman, our left guard, Aaron Banks, was out, I think, at the start of the game or shortly thereafter. I don't remember if he was technically active at the start or not, but he wasn't there for most. Again, though, we've got line depth enough that I thought, okay, we can handle that. You know, they've got some solid defensive tackles. They've got Derek Brown, who actually might be one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league right now, but you double team him, they don't have enough pass rush to threaten us otherwise, it's no big deal. Well, turns out they didn't need enough of a pass rush to threaten us. Tet McMillan, I mean, they've got a rookie receiver there, Tet McMillan, who before yesterday, I don't know how the stats shake out now, he had 37 receptions going into yesterday's game, and that's a solid number. But here's the deal, 31 were first downs. So it's like first and Tet. They have an offensive strategy that is obvious. They've got Tet McMillan. They've got Rico Dowdle. They have no tight ends. They have a second receiver, but he hasn't shown up much this season. You know, the game plan was there. The writing was on the wall. What we have to do is there, contain Rico Dowdle and just not make mistakes. We did neither of those things.
The bad news is, of course, tough loss. Hard to watch yesterday. The good news is, with all that said, the Packers are 5-2-1, and they're still in a really good spot to be a top 3 or 4 seed in the conference. You would think, from listening to the wine line after the game yesterday, that the Packers were 1-7 and that the season was over. And it's just the knee-jerk reactions just really, really cracked me up. The Packers are going to be fine. Losing Kraft is going to be an issue. Everybody's saying that it's an MCL, ACL that he's probably done. That's not 100% confirmed, I don't think, even yet this morning.
Fears are all we have right now.
But let me just say this. I know Kraft is a big part of what they do. I know. But I think... I think they'll be all right. I think Kraft brings, of course, the blocking, and he brings the large Travis Kelce type, body out there for Jordan Love to go to. So the next man up is Mr. Musgrave, right?
Luke Musgrave is going to be right there, and we did just lose one of our backup tight ends. So I'm betting we wish we had Ben Sims back right now.
He's a Viking now.
Yes, we do still have John Fitzgerald. Musgrave is going to be right there, and we've had four tight ends for a lot of the last few years, and there's usually one on the practice squad. So there's probably somebody ready to step right in, but they're not Tucker Kraft. Like, the conversation's been heating up. Tucker Kraft was top three until yesterday. So, and I mean, like, not number three either, just unless you're willing to argue about it. So he was heating up. He was set to become our Travis Kelce here, because none of the receivers have really separated from the pack, though Christian and Watson has stepped into it a little bit. We need some pass catching help. We need some our ball carriers are a little lackluster right now, and it's okay if Josh Jacobs isn't churning when the passing game is rolling as a result. But right now, neither of them really are.
So to Packer fans today, I say this.
I'd like to invite you and your lady friend to simmer down now.
What?
Perhaps I can put it to you more clearly. 1st and 10, simmer, take the snap, drop back, find down in the end zone for a touchdown. Now, come on and kick the extra point. Simmer to down, follow by now, and it's simmer down now.
Simmer down now. Simmer down now, everybody.
Something like that.
5-2-1 on the season, but when you look at the next team coming in, then you might simmer up a little bit because the Eagles are coming in and they kind of need to keep winning. I mean, they're 6-2, I believe, aren't they? The Eagles are, I believe.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so now you got a good team coming in after you just lost to a team that everybody thought was bad. The Eagles might be favored by a couple points in this game on the Vegas line,
yeah,
possibly.
Man, and speaking of Vegas lines, that was kind of the funny thing. That's I think what had a lot to do with the Panthers being underrated was because the fans underrated them in the betting booth. Like, the odds makers didn't give them a 13.5 point spread. The odds makers, I think, would have set the original line somewhere around like 3 to 6 points in favor of Green Bay. You know, it was going to be in that neighborhood. And, you know, if that was the original spread, yeah, -2.5.
So Green Bay's favored by 2.5, yeah. Yeah.
See, well, against the Eagles?
Yeah.
Ha! Nah. And that's less than the home field advantage spread. Like, I'm terrified. If the Eagles play a mediocre game and the Packers make mistakes, we lose. Like, yeah. we are so capable of beating ourselves and of stealing defeat from the jaws of victory that, like, it's bothering me. Oh, the kicker situation. It's gonna fester.
I think Vegas is currently building another casino right now because I heard yesterday that 85% of the money on the Lion-Viking game was on the Lions yesterday. 85% of the total amount bet, which is millions and millions and millions of dollars, was on the Lions yesterday. And we'll talk a little bit about that and the rest of the NFC Norris division coming up here on this edition of the Gray Area. We're just giving into football today. It's going to be all football here.
We have no power.
We
no
have
control.
No power, no control. More to come after the news.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This week, the government shutdown will become the longest in U.S. history. A judge has ordered the Trump administration to continue food assistance for millions of Americans, while others are warned of further delays and cancellations at the nation's airports.
Air traffic controllers and airport security officers have been declared essential personnel and ordered to keep working with or without a paycheck. But some TSA agents have been calling in sick, creating massive lines at security checkpoints. Passengers flying out of Houston's Bush Intercontinental Airport Sunday waited more than 3 hours in lines that extended through the terminal, out the door, and down the sidewalk. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The Supreme Court this week will hear arguments on the sweeping tariffs that have become the centerpiece of President Trump's economic and foreign policy. That will happen on Wednesday. Kimberly Clark, maker of Huggies and Kleenex, is acquiring Kenvue, maker of Tylenol, in a cash and stock deal worth almost $50 billion. This is ABC News.
State and local news with News Director Austin Brume on 98Q Country.
Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values, visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com. Got pumpkins left over after Halloween? Well, the Wisconsin DNR says disposing them in the trash may not be the best idea. That takes up valuable landfill space and fuels the microbes that generate methane, which is a potent greenhouse gas. For uncarved pumpkins, you can consider cooking. For example, smaller heirloom varieties can be used for fall decoration, then cooked or cut up and frozen for later use. And roasted seeds from carving pumpkins make an excellent addition to granola or a tasty treat all on their own. You can donate them, support food rescue efforts, and check if your local food pantry accepts pumpkins. Or consider backyard composting. Wax and paint-free pumpkins can go in compost bins or in an unused part of the yard. Cover them with leaves or soil. Just remember to remove any seeds you missed when scooping, or you may end up with a pumpkin patch next spring. You can find composting services on dnr.wisconsin.gov. Monday, November 10th from 4 to 5 p.m., the Park Falls Public Library is hosting a brick building club. This is for first graders and up, and once again is taking place Monday, November 10th at the Park Falls Public Library from 4 to 5 p.m. Lisa Hale has another profile of a candidate running for Congress in eastern Wisconsin.
Mako or Macho, however you pronounce his last name, John Mako of Oshkosh wants your vote in the Democratic primary for the 6th Congressional District. Mako is one of 7 Democrats looking to unseat incumbent Glenn Grothman.
I saw the lack of leadership in the country, and we were being bombarded with all this divisive news daily, and the elimination of norms that we had been ruled by forever.
Mako lists among his key platforms a stable economy.
And part of that is ending these tariffs. I'm hoping that they're going to end way before this election, But if they're still there, I want to make sure that they go away.
And securing the border while helping immigrants find a legal pathway to residency.
There are so many hardworking people in our community that are having to hide because they don't have their paperwork. They have never caused anybody grief. They have families. It's time for them to come out of the shadows. And we need to create that opportunity.
What Mako said is needed most in the 6th Congressional District is affordable housing, affordable health care, and civility.
We need to start talking to each other and stop dehumanizing each other because we have an R or a D in front. We need to be a purple country where it doesn't matter whether R or a D is in front of you anymore. It's whether we can talk issues and not personality.
The Democratic primary is August 11th, 2026. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Marthaler Chevrolet of Minocqua is now Minocqua Chevrolet, 100% locally owned and proud to serve the North Woods. With reliable service and hometown values, Minocqua Chevrolet stands out. They offer a full synthetic oil change for an everyday low price of just $49.95. And there's always a great selection of new 2025 Chevrolet models on the lot. Treating customers the way they want to be treated, it's a great place to do business. Visit Minocqua Chevrolet at Highway 51 South or online at MinocquaCars.com.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Indiana to take on their rival, the Pacers. It's the first time Bucks center Miles Turner will face his former team after 10 years in Indy. The Bucks losing to Sacramento over the weekend, 135-133. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers at the Kohl Center in Madison against Campbell University. NFL, the Packers stunned by the Panthers, losing 16-13 to Carolina. Green Bay's defense with just one turnover, Micah Parsons.
It's tough. I mean, you always want more takeaways, but the way they played, it was like run, run, quick. I mean, we got some of the stops. We just couldn't finish at the end.
The Packers concerned they've lost tight end Tucker Kraft to a season-ending knee injury.
You know, I think his leadership role and then obviously his play on the field. You know, he's been playing at a high level, so you know, we'll see what the injury is. But not having him out there for the rest of the game was huge. It's one of those situations, though. I mean, it's the next man up.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with sports on Mike Clemens.
It's Medicare open enrollment time, October 15th through December 7th. The Price County Elder Benefit Specialist is your trusted local source for Medicare information. During open enrollment, you can enroll, change, or disenroll from Medicare Advantage or prescription drug plans. For assistance, call the ADRC at 1-866-663-3607 and ask for the Elder Benefit Specialist. They can schedule an appointment to review your options so you can choose the plan that is best for your needs.
Lynn Stunkel, owner of Complete Rain Gutters, has spent over 30 years perfecting his craft. Enjoy top quality work and peace of mind for your home. Call 715-499-4216 or visit CompleteRainGutter.com for a free quote today.
We examine EKGs and use advanced imaging to uncover minute details. But what we see is you. We see how your heart beats with love and powers laughter. Even as we practice the latest medical science and perform advanced procedures, what we see is how we can help you live a healthy and active life. Healthcare is a lot of things, but the best care is human. Aspirus Heart Care. What we see is you.
Plug into powerful savings on Rough electrical products at Menards. CiroWire is American-owned and a leading manufacturer of building wire for residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Save time with Menards' convenient pre-cut lengths of wire and cable in stock and ready to take home today. Hurry into Menards and save big on CiroWire products. Plus, you can visit Menards.com and check out all of our other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
It's going to be sunny and breezy today, and that wind will mean elevated grassland fire danger issues, so just keep that in mind. Our high right around 52 today. Tonight, partly cloudy, 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, not as windy, with a high in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
I'd like to invite you and your lady friend to simmer down now
What?
Perhaps I can put it to you more clearly. First and 10, Simmer take the snap, drop back, find down in the end zone for a touchdown. Now come on and kick the extra point. Simmer to down, follow by now, and it's Simmer down now. When you knock on my
door. Simmer down now.
Now every time I go for the mail. Tobey Maguire was a treasure. Still is, but he just had that, he had that period where... I think that bit worked because it was like he was dorky white dude number one.
Think the Packers will ever wear those uniforms again?
I hope so.
You know,
like
I'm torn between the. I'm really torn because I love the throwback. I do love the throwback, but man, some of them just are really bad.
Steelers. Was that a throwback? Was that a throwback? What were the Steelers wearing a week ago? We didn't talk about that, but it looked like they were crash test dummies or like...
Minions, Bumblebee tuna. They look like minions. They look like minions out. I don't know what it was.
They did. They look like minions, and they lost for it. I think that's why.
I had the game on yesterday, and my wife, when I have football on, my wife goes to the alternate room, and she watched like the Elvis movie or something over there.
Ballroom.
She comes walking by through the living room, and she looks at the screen, and she saw the Packers score, and she goes, "Well, where are the Packers? I don't see them."
Yeah.
What? I said they got the brown pants on. Okay. And then she just walked away.
So here's, I've got kind of some thoughts that I think combine into an overall positive reaction. One of them is kind of a lack of a negative reaction. Anytime you're trying something that new and your gut reaction is anything less than, which I don't think they were. I think they fall short of, oh my gosh, those are gross. Okay. So we're in neutral territory or in good territory. But I don't think we're in good territory because that stands out just as much as the bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That stands out as, wow, that looks really cool. Now, here's what I do think. I think the general color scheme, the dark blue and the golden brown pants, I think that's sharp. I think that's a pretty sharp combo. And they had leather helmets back then. Now... So here's what we have to compare against what they did before the leather look helmets. They did those brownish helmets. Those were just bad. Those look bad.
I like the way they made it look like an old timer leather helmet.
Yes.
I like that look.
I think that was an improvement over what they used to do with this throwback, which was just a brown helmet that was kind of the same brown as leather, but it was still glossy plastic.
Mm-hmm.
That looked like crap. Yeah. And those, I think, were among the bottom-end throwbacks in the league just because they were lacking anything good. Now, I think with the leather-look helmet, we're top half, but not just obviously amazing, you know? I think if you can take anything that brand new and have a lack of disgust...
I had their helmet on yesterday.
Was that on backwards? Is that backwards?
No, it's not.
Man,
no.
See, that's the thing about those old leather helmets. They look like they were on backwards.
I sent Gray a pregame picture yesterday of me with... A
Lions jersey.
I went with a new philosophy. See, I've got something that worked for a week, so I'm going with it. I'm going with it until it doesn't work anymore. And that is when you play a team, when you play an opponent, if you have one of their jerseys, what you do is you take your color, you put it on underneath, and then you put their jersey on. So you send them a message that you're coming for them. You're there to mix it up with them. So you got their, so if something happened, you can grab their jersey on your own body and you can just like tear it, and it sends a message to the universe.
You're gonna mix it. What? We're coming to Detroit and we're gonna mingle.
I got the old Barry Sanders jersey on. I've had that thing for years. My wife and I would, when we were first dating, way back when, my wife loves to go to thrift stores, so my thing would be is I'd go to the men's section, and I looked for old football jerseys. I got like 20 of them in my closet. I got John Elway, I got the Eagles, I've got a bunch of them. So
yeah, whenever, ruined that one though.
Yeah, so when I got the Packers are playing somebody that I maybe want the other team to win, I'll throw that jersey on and send it to DJ Rick just to irritate him a little bit. So it's kind of fun. But we have the Steeler jersey on. It looks like a minion. The Steeler Steeler throwback jersey. Looks like a minion.
Was it a throwback? I certainly hope so. It looks like a horrible Color Rush decision, but yeah. Color Rushes are usually a matched kind of thing.
I can't imagine the financial benefit from this is any good, because, I mean, are people buying these throwback uniforms and wearing them? Isn't that usually the reason why you introduce several different types of uniforms, is for marketing, for people to go out and buy them? The NBA, it seems like every time the Bucks play and the Timberwolves play, they got different uniforms on because they want them to people to go out and buy their uniforms. I can't believe anybody's buying these throwback uniforms. I wouldn't guess.
Yeah, it was a throwback. It was to their 1933 uniform, which actually looked kind of cool because they weren't wearing pads underneath and they kind of had a bit more of a mustard yellow thing. So it almost kind of looked like check this out, Joel. Look at this picture. That's a kind of a drawing of the 1933 uniform that it was based off of.
A little bit different.
Yeah. So the black on yellow, but the 1933 jersey was a long sleeve shirt and it had black along the insides of the arms, kind of going down from the armpit to the wrist. And it kind of looked sort of neat. I will say this didn't look as bad when it was a shirt instead of a jersey over pads.
And your thoughts about the jersey are always directly related to how your team performed when those jerseys were on their bodies, of course.
Totally. And the Steelers stunk it up in that mustard yellow, so I'm thinking that's a brand you don't need on the barbecue table.
Yeah, and there are certain teams like the Vikings. The Vikings don't have throwback uniforms. I mean, they've always been the same uniforms. They've always just... haven't been. You can go back to 1961 when they came in the league and just like, it looks like today's uniform. They've never really changed.
No.
But you've got, I don't think it was this year, but recently that the Tennessee Titans, I think, wore the old Houston Oilers.
Yes. Those jerseys. Ones are really cool.
Yeah. Like, oh, Oilers. That's when Warren Moon was a part of the Oilers and a friend of mine was a big Houston fan. The Oilers have a really warm place in my heart, memory-wise. Yeah.
Oh, see, but, like, they're kind of unique, though, because they're one of the only franchises that can really do that. You know, the Oilers kind of just went away. There are no Oilers today. Whereas other teams that have done similar things, like the Baltimore Colts and the Browns when they left Cleveland and became the Ravens to take place of the vacuum there. Like,
a bad feeling there, yeah.
You can't do that. The Ravens can't wear a Baltimore Colts uniform. They can't wear a Cleveland Browns uniform. The Browns can't wear a Ravens uniform. But, like, yeah, the Tennessee Titans, they can do the Oiler thing.
Yeah.
Which makes it kind of cool. It feels like other teams should be able to. I mean, and don't even talk to me about the Decatur Staleys.
The Decatur, what was that?
Literally, I have no idea. Don't talk to me about it. Okay. There was some old team called the Decatur Staleys.
No, I do like the throwback uniforms. It's just some of them I look at and I'm just like, should we really? I mean, I want to, but it's like, oh, man, brown pants. I mean, you go to a Lambeau Field. You imagine you're the first game that you've ever been to at Lambeau Field. You're excited to go to the game. You have no idea what's happening that day. You just know you're going to the game, and you go to the restaurant before, and you're excited, and you walk in. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Green Bay Packers! And they all run out in the field, and you're like, what's that? That's not the team that I cheer for. They have brown pants on. They could have a mistake in their pants, and I wouldn't know. That's a pair of brown pants.
Every single color was wrong if you went to that Packer game yesterday.
Yeah.
The Decatur Staleys, I feel I should have known this. The Decatur Staleys were the one-year predecessor to the Chicago Bears. They were the Decatur Staleys in 1920, in 21 the Chicago Staleys, and since 1922 they've been the Chicago Bears.
All right, nicely done. And many people don't realize this, but we're two full seasons away from the Bears being an indoor team. The Bears are building an indoor stadium.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, they will no longer be an outdoor element stadium in January or December. And January, if they're a playoff team, they're building an indoor stadium for an extensive concert venue. It's going to be quite a place, it looks like. And that's, I think, two more full seasons, maybe, with the Bears being outside.
Wow, Soldier Field's time is ticking.
Time is ticking. When you look at the football standings and who's doing what where, how do the New England Patriots, after that long run they had with Tom Brady, see, they should just be... There should just be a designation. After you have a guy like Tom Brady come through and you win 6 Super Bowls or whatever he won, you should just have 20 years where you're just not allowed to be good. Now they got this May guy, and they're 7-2, and they might be the best team in the AFC right now.
They're right there again. They picked Stephon Diggs up off of Houston's roster, and I thought, hey, he's probably just here for 1 year before he decides he should have retired. Nope, he's killing it. He's a legitimate receiving threat. Mac Hollins, kind of the same thing. He's feasting off of having somebody like Diggs leagues there. Their run game has been a little bit interesting, but Vrabel has proven that he can take the backups and do enough. You know, you don't need to win your game with your running back. You just need to open up your passing game. And if you can open up your passing game with a backup running back, all right, watch out, because that means the defense is in good shape too. And yeah, Vrabel's first year as the Patriots head coach is, he's got a hot start.
Yeah, the Chiefs might be in a little bit of trouble here. They're 5-4 right now. They got Denver twice on their schedule still this year. They got Indy in a couple of weeks. They've got the Los Angeles Chargers in there. The Chiefs making the playoffs, there's not a whole lot of room for error for them at 5-4 right now.
I'm actually pretty high on them, though, because they started the season a little slow and they've been reacquiring weapons as players come back from injury and from suspension. And the speed of Xavier Worthy and Tyquan Thornton on the kick return, setting them up with good field position. Also, Pat Mahomes has just kind of woken up. Yes, yesterday's game was, I think, the first time in his career that he completed fewer than 50% of his passes. But what he's been doing these last couple of weeks speaks to a mentality that I'm kind of scared of, because he's been doing something really interesting. He's been moving his platform. The Chiefs have always thrown really well out of the pocket, but Patrick is showing that he's moving within the pocket for different reasons now, and he's actually throwing more safely because of where he stands when he throws. And that sounds super obvious. Yeah, you've got two things that determine whether there's a defender in the way: where you throw it and when you throw it. But there's a third one: where you throw it from. Yeah. And the Chiefs are weaponizing that fact in a way that's, I don't know. You're right, they're in a weird spot right now, and their margin for error is getting slimmer and slimmer. But their challenges within the division and within the conference aren't that great right now. They're still looking at if you ask me, they're still looking at a wild card if they keep steady right now.
And watching the Bills beat the Chiefs yesterday, I don't know if I just had this mindset. I'm just like, yeah, nice, but... do it in the playoffs.
I love that for the Bills. Yeah. I did love that for the Bills, because that's the best team they've beaten this year. And if you go back to about week 5 or so, the Bills were going to have some problems. They had a lot of wins right in a row. I think they were the last undefeated team besides the Colts at the time, something like that. But they'd beaten teams that had 3 total wins. So it's like, yeah, you've beaten the junior high squad.
The NFC playoffs are going to be just unreal this year. You're going to have 7 teams in there that you could have road favorites. You're looking at Detroit right now as a number 7 seed. And I know the Vikings picked them apart a little bit yesterday, and the Viking defense dominated them pretty much the whole game. But they're still for real. I mean, you're going to have 7 teams, and you're going to have 2 or 3 teams that are not going to make the playoffs. Could be the Vikings, could be the Bears, that... you know, have playoff quality teams. You're gonna have 10 or 11 playoff quality teams in the NFC. Only 7 are gonna get in.
Top 10 in a 16 team conference, 10 are 500 or better. 10 teams are 500 or better. That's bonkers. That's absolutely bonkers. Those Panthers who the Packers shouldn't have lost to, that's your 9th seed at 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, this is, we haven't seen a conference like this since the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning and the Patriots with Tom Brady. The Manning-Brady era of the AFC was, I think, the last time it's looked this hot on either side. I love it, though. If we tank, if the Packers fall apart, if we don't get a 6th win this season, that means a lot of good football happened. God forbid it's winless from here on out, though.
And what a wild Bears game yesterday. You almost just... See, I've never really felt that rivalry with the Bears. Growing up in northern Wisconsin, it's always been Packer-Viking. And the Bears are just kind of like, yeah, they're in our division. I never felt that strong rivalry. Know a few Bears fans. But I felt a little bit of good yesterday for the Bears when they were able to pull that game out right at the end. Caleb Williams is still a wild card. He's throwing some things away that maybe will get him eventually. But what a wild, crazy victory for the Bears over the Bengals yesterday.
Yeah, don't bet on anything. You and I were discussing whether Joe Flacco would even be playing in the first place, and I was laughing about the potential of the Bears losing to the Browning-led Bengals. Well, they almost lost to the Flacco-led Bengals, which are weirdly a threatening team, I think, just on the back of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
But 470 yards, I think he had yesterday.
Yeah, the longest ever, the most yards by a 40-year-old quarterback ever. He beat Tom Brady, I think, by a yard.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Joe... I can't even be mad, man. Like, I hope I'm that cool at 40.
It looks like in the NFC we have five teams that are probably going to be on the outside looking in. You got the Falcons, Commanders, you got the Cardinals, you got the Giants, and the Saints. If any of those make a run to the playoffs, it'll be a surprise to everybody. But everybody from the Cowboys on up, 11 on up, the Cowboys have a good offense. If they can add any kind of defensive pieces down the stretch and they get a little bit of defense, even just a little bit, they're going to be a team to be contended with. But the divisional games for everybody, they stack those divisional games at the end of the year. The Vikings are 2-0 in the division. The Packers are 1-0 in the division, and the Lions sit at 1-2 right now in the division. So that division title could be big as far as getting a little home field when it comes to the playoffs.
Halfway through Detroit's divisional games, and they're thinking more wild card than division champ. If you had that on your bingo card, well, I would have called you a fool, but you'd have been right. You know, that's.
And going into yesterday's game, I'll just say this final thing about my purple is the Vikings had their whole defense healthy yesterday, and that was the first time since game one that they had everybody healthy. They had four of their key defensive players back, and the Vikings, you probably didn't watch that game because you're Packer fans or Bear fans, but I watched both games, Packers and Vikings, at the same time, different TVs. I was in heaven for 3 hours. It was wonderful. The Vikings absolutely dominated the Detroit offensive line. Jared Goff had no time to throw. And if the Vikings stay healthy, which there's 9 games to go, probably not, but if they stay healthy, it's going to be a problem for the rest of the NFL because they absolutely took that Detroit offensive line yesterday and shoved it right back into the face of Jared Goff, just bullied Detroit on their home field.
Yeah, I mean it.
Yeah,
you gotta. You're one trick away. You know, there. There's one thing that's laying there. I mean, and we mentioned it against the Browns. The way I put it going into the Browns game was, if the wrong people have good ideas, the Packers are in trouble. And you don't know which crappy team has a coordinator who catches something. There's a story from Bill Belichick recently on a podcast. They were going up against one of their opponents, and they noticed that one of the tight ends on that team, who was a darn good tight end, would wiggle his fingers before the snap on every pass. And a player went to Bill Belichick and said, "Coach, I got one. I got a key." They call it a key. When you notice something that gives you an indicator, you call it a key. And one of these players went to Belichick, and Belichick said, "No way." Wiggling his fingers. So they went back and they looked at the tape, and every single pass play, that tight end would wiggle his fingers before the snap. And the Patriots wrecked that team for 3 or 4 years off the back of that.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
You don't, and I mean, it's never going to be that weird. It's never going to be that episode of Psych or House, or, you know, it's going to be that the weird curly Q-shaped explanation fits perfectly into this puzzle piece hole.
And there are, I mean, there's discussions that take place within NFL teams of, for instance, how wide receivers handle their demeanor on a run play. Because if you're a wide receiver and you're an egotistical wide receiver and you're like, throw me the ball, and you get in the huddle and they call a run play, all right, the wide receiver goes and splits out. A lot of people might just kind of run out there and have different demeanor than it is when they call their play.
Yeah.
They know the ball's coming to me. And you have to be able to keep that same demeanor because the NFL is to the point where that little advantage that a defense might see is huge.
They're watching close.
Watching.
They're absolutely, I mean, like, and I think of Andre Agassi. Have you ever heard of that story with the tongue thing?
With tennis player?
Yeah. With the sick flow. That guy had the best hair ever for the 90s. But he was playing in this particular heated matchup against, I don't remember whom, but he noticed that opponent would tip off the direction of his serve by sticking his tongue out a different side of his mouth. Like, tongue goes left, ball goes left, tongue goes right, ball goes right. And he won off the back of that. So if you think that the Browns can't possibly beat the Packers, first of all, they did. And it can come from things as simple as, like, it's the things that fans don't watch for. You know, hey, Christian Watson caught a deep ball again this week, but it wasn't enough to win. Maybe because the Panthers noticed that if you can contain him in a particular way, then he'll only veer towards the middle. Like, it's tiny stuff. It's tiny stuff we'd never notice. They get paid millions. They notice it. They win. And, sometimes you just got to let the Green Bay beat themselves.
Well, for those of you who thought we talked NFL the entire gray area this week, we started it out with Kevin Federline, and we'll wrap it up by saying we will not be interviewing Kevin Federline on 98Q Country. The X. ex-wife of Britney Spears.
We've been talking about Kevin Federline for an hour, people.
We bookended it with Kevin Federline.
What have you been doing?
You guys talk football? Come on, talk football, would you? This afternoon, Gray will talk a little football. See you, Gray.
Once again.
Have a great day. Gray Gunderson, Joel here at the Gray Area Monday mornings. We archive it at 98qcountry.com.